Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Now that Mackey's back in town. Look out, old Mackey's back.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The
Fan. WFAN.
On the Fan. How are we doing on this Monday morning? McMonagle here with you for the next 4 hours. I got you till 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Fleegum on the other side. He'll take your phone calls at 888-808-1019. I'll take them too. I mean, you know how it works. He'll screen them. I'll take them. You know what I meant. How's everybody doing on this Monday morning? Hope everybody had a great weekend. We got football coming up. Football on the docket, but we are still in a baseball town right now. And both teams yesterday had pivotal games that are swing games that you feel completely different about your team depending on whether you win it or lose it. Both teams playing ugly, ugly losing ball clubs. The last place Toronto Blue Jays. And I know that feels weird to say. The Blue Jays have been a pretty good team over the last handful of years. I mean, they're frauds. I've been saying it forever. And they traded away half the roster. And they're in last place this year. Oh, always a tough battle, especially when Vladimir Guerrero comes into Yankee Stadium on a tear the way he's been. But the Yankees playing at the beginning of a long homestand, a lousy last place Toronto Blue Jays in a rubber game on a Sunday afternoon. And the Mets out in Anaheim playing one of the worst teams in baseball, the Angels, who have no one left, who are just a dreadful team throwing some of the worst pitchers in baseball at them. And when these games, and we talked about the start of it in both teams, the Yankees on a homestand and the Mets on a 10-game road trip where now they have a brief stop in St. Louis for a game before heading out to Colorado. And Seattle, a long West Coast road trip. How pivotal these series are, how pivotal these games are. And yes, the Mets have not lost a series since the end of June, right? There's been a lot of four-game splits necessarily, and they've played relatively good baseball. But this is such an imperative stretch for this group, and we talked about this 10-game road trip. And to start it, by losing the first two of three to Anaheim is unacceptable. It's unacceptable for this offense that has carried this team. And I talked about this a lot on Thursday. With the Mets, it's about the offense, right? We talked about it at the trade deadline. They added some bullpen help. You know, they did get Winker before the deadline. But, and obviously Blackburn will pitch well. Coming off the trade deadline for the Mets. But it's not about their rotation. That's been a positive for them in many, many ways, despite it not being terrific. And now you have we'll see what he does in his first game in Colorado on Tuesday. But Severino coming off one of the worst starts of season. We've talked about the innings for Severino. And we've seen Peterson here and some of the back end of the rotation. But ultimately, they've given you good enough starts to win games, especially against a lousy Anaheim team throwing Griffin Canning at you. And this offense continues to just be the lightning rod of what this team is. When they got back in it after a miserable start where the offense did nothing forever, the first 2 months, nothing. Then went on this torrid pace that you knew couldn't keep up, right? You knew it couldn't keep up, whether it was Lindor hitting like the best player in baseball, whether it was Nimmo and his power surge, whether it was Vientos just absolutely killing it, Iglesias, and oh my God, like everything about this team, Taylor, Bader having the best years, Kraft, talked about it on and on. This offense, and it's what's propelled them. And it's what's caused them to lose. It has been, without question, the balance swing for this Met ball club. And watching it now, and I just heard Lori say it at the end of her show on how they are only behind the White Sox when it comes to runners in scoring position. This offense over the since the All-Star break, and they have been bad, minus a couple of big, you know, performances, right? You score a ton of runs against the Yankees in that second game. You score a ton of runs against Minnesota. But ultimately, this offense has done nothing. And we've been waiting for Pete Alonso to do something. He is absolutely killing them. We could talk about Alvarez and his struggles, no doubt. He struggled offensively. He's had a couple of issues. You know, he had the issue behind the plate, I guess, you know, where his stance, really, I mean, the way they've coached him up is more about stealing strikes than blocking balls in the dirt. And we've talked about that forever in Major League Baseball. That is the new. They don't care about balls in the dirt. This conversation goes back to Gary Sanchez. So we understand, but we understand his impact on winning, though. Like, to me, it's the guys in the middle of this lineup and the inability to come through with big hits, whether it's the Vientos double play, whether it's time and time again getting on base, right? Even McNeil, who's been hot with runners in scoring position, he doesn't seem to want to, like, it's just this offense and their inability. You look up and down, it's 1-for-8, 2-for-10, 1-for-13. Like, every one of these games, they have absolutely come up with more. I mean, and listen, some of it's bad luck, too. Lindor hits the first ball off of the series and an absolute on Saturday, excuse me, and an absolute unbelievable catch from Pilar. So there's some of that, too. But watching this team, it's all about their offense. And the other thing about the Mets is when they're going well, they do a certain thing. And when they're playing poorly, they don't. And that's bouncing back, right? The Mets, for whatever reason, whether it's in-game or whether it's in a week or in a month or in a season, this Mets team, when they fall behind, when they're playing well, they fall behind, they bounce right back and score a bunch of runs. When they have a terrible loss, they come right back and come and get you. And the inability to win this rubber match off of Saturday night's debacle. And that is, they finally come through with a big hit. Martinez comes through at the Grand Slam, and that's a game right now. And we're going to talk about the Yankees in a second and how these games feel completely different. Yesterday is a game the Yankees have lost for the last 2 months. Extra innings after you've blown it in the late innings on a rain delay. That's a game over the last 2 months against the last place team with an opportunity to win the series. That's a game the Yankees have lost for the last 2 months, bar none. And this is the type of game that the Mets have won during this hot streak, during this unbelievable play that has caused, you know, our intent of the trade deadline to change, our feeling around the team to change. Everything about this has changed over the last 2 months. Our attitude about this Met team making the playoffs. Because right now, this loss yesterday dropped them a game and a half behind. And what felt like just a mere week ago when they were playing against Atlanta, where they were right on the precipice after taking the first two games of Atlanta and feeling like they were just going to catapult everybody and they were going to be this first team. They were going to be the first wild card, to only a short, brief time later being a game and a half behind the surging San Diego Padres, the surging Arizona Diamondbacks. And to not be able to start this 10-game road trip by pounding the bad teams. And that's what you have to do. And this Met team has struggled with that too. And when they're going poor, they struggle with bouncing back off bad wins. And they struggle against bad teams. And when they're going well, they sweep the Nationals. Like, that's, and right now, it's all predicated. Yeah, I know Brezovan gave up the runs and, you know, gave up that 3-run home run. And it, after the Grand Slam, that's a brutal loss. And the bullpen has its holes for sure. No doubt about it. And the starting rotation doesn't go too deep into games. Severino, if he blows up, he's been your best pitcher. That's tough to recover from. I get all of that. But to me, it's about this Met offense. It's who they are. It was supposed to be their strength heading into the season. When they don't hit, they don't win. When they hit, when they have guys like Nimmo and Lindor and Martinez and everybody coming through, they're able to win these games. And when the offense goes cold, I mean, that's what it is. And we could talk about Mendoza leaving Brazoban in, or all the other different things of what happened in this three-game set. But ultimately, for me, as this team right now is as good as any, I still believe this, they're as good as the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are as good as the San Diego Padres. I know the San Diego Padres just bolstered their bullpen. But, and everybody, I just heard Healy on with Lori. Everybody's satisfied with this trade deadline. Everybody is content with the idea they, you know, kind of helped their team while they went about keeping secure all of their young talent in the future, and you want to be like the Dodgers and have it and eat your cake too, eat your cake and, you know, have your cake and eat it too, and have the young prospects come up and, you know, keep that fortified and try and build for the future while trying to compete. And hey, you added this guy, you added that guy. And I'm just telling you, we knew that this offense wasn't going to be on that kind of run forever. And if right now the team everywhere else, and I understand that, you know, there's only so much you can do with the rotation. There's only so many trades that could have been made. But this offense has got to be better than the second worst team in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position, or they're not going to win. And Pete Alonso is making what we all thought was going to be the toughest decision this new general manager was going to have to make. The toughest decision of this owner who loves the fan base, who does everything he can to try and please the fan base, whether it's uniforms, whether it's statues, whether it's giveaways, whatever the case may be. This owner, who's one of you, who's done everything he possibly can to please you. It hasn't culminated in winning just yet, but on all the ancillary stuff, on all the big decisions, on all the things that a fan base gets into, whether it's spending money, clearly they have, whether it's trading pieces away and taking on worse contracts to get and taking on part of the deal and money to get better prospects and spending the money and making moves and everything else, along with the jerseys and the statues and everything else. The biggest and weighing decision on this owner, on Stearns, was going to be what to do with Pete Alonso. Whether it was to trade him, whether it was to give him a contract, the fan base will revolt. Pete Alonso, who, I mean, yeah, I know he hit a home run in the series, but ultimately, on the Friday night game that they won, he has done nothing. He is having a miserable season. And this is a guy who we've all touted, myself included, is going to be the greatest position player in Mets history and everything else. He has done nothing here this entire season. A season where now they are right there to reach out and grab a playoff appearance, which would culminate this as one of the more promising, better seasons the Mets have had in forever. You got the new GM, you're stacking talent, you made the deals at the deadline last year, you got a manager that right now feels like, you know, I think the Midas touch that he had for 2 weeks is kind of waning a little bit, but still a manager you believe in, a young GM who built up the Brewers to still being a first-place team right now, and everything seems to be heading in the right direction. And ultimately, the biggest question was going to be how they handled the Pete Alonso decision. And right now, I don't think you'll catch a Met fan who feels like, hey, if it hits a number that seems unreasonable for a young an aging first baseman who is a power hitter who isn't doing what he's supposed to do for this lineup and hasn't been the leader for this group, that's Nimmo and Lindor, hasn't been the driving catalyst of what's led them back into this playoff race, certainly not Alonso. Everybody but, for the most part, you got a Vientos who probably, you can make the case, his best position moving forward will be first base. And Pete Alonso has not only played himself into a lesser contract, but he's played himself out of the idea of the fan base revolting, which I know we mock John Mara for, and talking about the most popular player when it came down to Saquon Barkley. But you know this owner has been weighing this decision for a long time because of the connection to the fan base, because of his place inside Mets lore and inside Mets history right now. And what he's doing this last year is making a decision that felt like something that was weighing over the organization, a black cloud over the organization, and he is making it an easy one, where there's a number they're comfortable with and a number they won't be, and the fan base will come along for the ride. But that's where the Mets are now as they head into a one game against St. Louis with Manaea on the mound, who's pitched, had his best start of the year in his last one, heading into Colorado before taking on the first-place Seattle Mariners. And these are games the Mets can't afford to lose. These are series against bad teams that, unfortunately, no matter how good they've been over the last 2 months, the way they played over the first two have put them in a position where they can't afford to lose these games. And this was a brutal series, an ugly two games. The offense has come up really inept since the All-Star break. And I've been clamoring for Pete Alonso, along with everybody else, But everybody else has been doing their job for the most part. I've been clamoring for Pete Alonso to make his case that he should be here, to make his case that he's one of the leaders of this team, to make his case that he's indispensable. And the fact of the matter is, he's just not. And this was an ugly series and a start to an important road trip where they have now encountered a surging Arizona Diamondbacks team and a surging San Diego Padres team. And if they're not, you know, careful here, they could find themselves in a bigger hole than we thought at the end of this road trip. You know, feel like, well, I mean, this month was going to be a gauntlet, right? They're barely home. We talked about the schedule, right? This 10-game road trip. Then they have an Oakland and Miami Baltimore homestand. They're right on the road at the end of this month with important games against San Diego, a 4-game set, and 3 games against Arizona. You better make sure that at the end of August, this thing isn't cooked for the New York Mets. And we'll get to the Yankees, obviously, 888-808-1019. A walk-off win in extra innings. Like I said, a pivotal game against a Toronto Blue Jays team. A series that now, especially with the walk-off nature and the rain delay and everything that came with it, and DJ LeMahieu, who we have to have a conversation about. But DJ LeMahieu comes through with the walk-off win, and the difference between winning that game and losing that game are enormous. Enormous. Right, the Baltimore Orioles managed to win the last 2 games of a 4-game set against Cleveland. They would have been a game out of first place had they lost this game. Lost another series at home where they have been 6-16 over the last 22 heading into yesterday. They've been atrocious at home during this terrible play. And the difference between winning that series and losing that series is enormous. And they got the win, and we'll get into it next. Walk-off fashion. A lot of questions about the lineup and Judge as he continues to get intentionally walked. I'm wondering right now if DJ LeMay, who not only came through with the big hit, came through with the sacrifice fly, won a game for them with 6 RBIs against Philadelphia and had good at-bats all day yesterday. I'm starting to wonder if DJ LeMahieu is starting to come out of his slumber and whether and how that impacts this infield that seems set with Torres at second, although he got benched on Friday. And that's another conversation we got to have because I have my thoughts on what happened with Gleyber Torres and some of the aftermath with Aaron Boone. We got to get into that. But can DJ LeMahieu impact the look of this team, the feel of this team, and the part of this roster and lineup if he's going to wake up from what has been a, I don't know, 3-year slumber? But he's actually had some good at-bats over the last couple of games. I'm not going nuts about it. But he just came through with the walk-off win. The Yankees take 2 of 3. The Mets lose 2 of 3. And we are still here on a Monday morning right in the midst of this playoff push for both of these teams. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls, especially on the Mets to open. We'll get to the Yankees and their walk-off heroics. We'll get to some football, too, because I know we all love lists, but 2 lists have come out in the time I was off. I took off Friday. Since I was last on Thursday morning, 2 lists in the NFL have come out. Both of them just boggle my mind. And then, plus, there's somebody who's up for a Hall of Fame vote. And if you ever want to have a conversation on The Fan, you can go to Pete Rose. There's a lot of things you can go to. Another one is whether or not Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Get it going. I actually got to tell you, everyone says I'm a Yankee shill. I don't complain. Well, I got a complaint now. I got a complaint about going to the game on Saturday. So we'll have some fun with that. My wife is not happy. Not happy with the New York Yankees. We'll get into that a little bit later. But we started with the Mets just because I know the Yankees had a walk-off win. And I'm one of Mr. Yankees here at the station. I like to think we all like to think we are. But to me, the Mets, if the Yankees would have lost, it would have been one thing. Like, these are one of those series you win, you keep moving forward. Yes, they had a walk-off win in extra innings, a game that had a bunch of different things to it. We'll get to Gerrit Cole and his start, which was serviceable. I'm still expecting more, and I'm still a little concerned. He was rubbing his trap or whatever. It looked like he was dealing with some sort of issue during the game. He got better as the innings went on, but still not anywhere near vintage Cole just yet against the Blue Jays team that, you want to talk about the Yankees having 2 guys in the lineup not a lot of guys in the lineup. But for the Mets, you can't, like, if you want to be a playoff team, and I'm sorry, I understand the future aspect of this whole thing. I get it, right? I know, you know, I listen to Evan a lot. I talk with Fleegs a lot. Those are two fans who, of course, they want to win now. By no means do they not want to win now. But the idea of, you know, building for the future and stabilizing the franchise in this spot means almost as much, or if not more, than anything else, which I get. I get from a franchise that's had trouble putting back-to-back playoff seasons together. I get that. But, I mean, and we're past the trade deadline now. But for me, you want to be a playoff team? You want to make this season special when I still think it can be? Like, these are series you can't lose. You can't go in there against a Griffin Canning on a rubber match with one of the worst teams in baseball that have completely, I mean, they lose Trout for the year. I always say now with the Yankees having Rodon, I always say is Rendon being one of the worst contracts in baseball, maybe history, and he's on the IL again. Like, that team is not good enough. I don't care where you play. That Mets offense has got to, that has pounded starting pitching at every single turn this year. You can't go into Anaheim and lose that series, right? You just can't. And I understand off the grand slam, you got the one big hit, really the one big hit of the series, to be honest with you. I know they had, you know, Alonso hits the home run early in the game on Friday. They had, they win that game Friday night, and they're about to, in the big moment, they get the, after doing nothing all game, they get the grand slam from Martinez, his second in a short span here. And, you know, Brazoban blows it. I get it. That is a brutal loss. It's one of the worst losses of the season. I heard Healy not put it in the top 10 or whatever. It's a pretty bad loss to me. And it wouldn't have been. It's one of those things where you got to play the next day. Where if they win yesterday, then Saturday night's not a killer. Saturday night's a blip on the radar, rough loss. It happens. Your bullpen blew it. But when you follow it up with the performance the offense gave you yesterday and you lose that rubber match and now you've lost 2 of 3 to Anaheim while you're pushing for a wild card here, that is a brutal loss. It's a brutal loss Saturday night followed up by an ugly loss and an ugly offensive performance. And this offense has kind of gone cold. And whether it's obviously, you know, Alvarez, who's in a long slump, Pete Alonso, who I just went in on a second ago, this whole season has been a down season for him in every aspect. He couldn't even hit home runs in the home run derby. I mean, and that's what Pete Alonso does. Whether it's Vientos hitting into big double plays, they get the few opportunities they get. Well, they've had several opportunities. They had opportunities in this game. They just can't come through with the big hit. And this team that's been thriving on it, just completely falling short. And to be the worst, I mean, you look up and down the numbers of every game. It's 1 for 8, 1 for 9, 2 for 11. Like, they were just awful. Since the All-Star break, they have been awful with runners in scoring position. And that's not going to cut it for this team because we know the situation. We know where the rotation is, and we know where the pen is. Now, hopefully with the pen, you're getting some guys back. Reed Foley is going to come back. I don't know if, you know, Reed Garrett, he's going to come back, where he fits into this. But you kind of have confidence in Diaz. You have confidence in Buto now, who's turned it around. The bullpen you're starting to feel a little bit better than, even though they blew the game Saturday night. And this offense that has continued to, like, you knew a drop-off was coming, but not to the point where they can't get a big hit to save their lives. And that's what's happened other than two games, right? They had the explosion offensively against the Yankees. When, by the way, Sal Licata said the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. I just want to just... Thank you, Sal, again for your. I mean, the guy is you got to love him. I mean, it's all ridiculous and we're having fun with him. But I kind of was very happy when he said the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed him. But, I mean, besides that game and then the first game against Minnesota, this offense has been absolutely nowhere. What happened to it? What happened to this offense that pounded good starting pitching? Who pounded Dylan Cease? Who pounded Imanaga? Who pounded Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil? Where were they against one of the worst starting pitchers in Major League Baseball yesterday? Because if they're not who they were the last 2 months, this team isn't good enough. And as you've seen now, San Diego add to their bullpen, the lineup they already have, the way they've been playing as they took the season series from the Dodgers for the first time in forever. You've got the surging Diamondbacks who in the World Series last year, and it feels like a little bit like some of their players have found it. Corbin Carroll has found it a little bit after a miserable start to his year. Like, it felt like early in the year that this wild card was a mess. And that the jumble, even when the Mets were struggling, right? And you were looking at it, and they're 5-6 games back. But hey, there's, you know, there's six teams ahead of them. But you looked at them and you said, well, the Reds aren't any good. The Pirates aren't any good. And you got the tiebreakers against, you know, both of those teams. Diamondbacks aren't very good. St. Louis isn't very good. You know, the Padres are an underachieving franchise in their recent history. And you felt like, hey, as long as the Mets play well, there's no team out there that can't stop them. And if they can just get to 84, you know, 83, 84 wins, they should be there at the bottom. You know, they'd be one of these wild card teams. And now, with the surgence of San Diego and Arizona, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than that. How things have changed from just a week ago after the first two games against Atlanta. And it felt like you were right there to real put a real hurting on Atlanta and take over the first wild card, and now you're a game and a half back. That's how quick this happens, and it's how quick they can be back on top if they play well. But it really feels like now they have legitimate teams pushing them, where before it just felt like the Mets weren't playing well. The standings are the standings. The teams in front of them, yes, there may be plentiful, but they aren't anything that the Mets can't overcome if they start to play their brand of baseball. And now it feels like, well, there are two legitimate teams. Oh, obviously, you add Atlanta as the third. And Philadelphia now has lost six in a row and have come back to the pack. And no longer, I mean, the Yankees have a better record than Philadelphia, if you can believe that. But they've lost six in a row after being swept by Seattle and the Yankees. And they're coming back to earth. Atlanta's only six games back of Philadelphia. But Atlanta, San Diego, Arizona. Those are three legitimately good teams playing good baseball. And the Mets can't start a 10-game road trip and a month that is so important to them. A month they're going to be on the road, two-thirds of it. And a month that will end with a four-game set against San Diego and a three-game set against Arizona to determine not only the standings but the tiebreakers and everything that goes with it. Like, you can't start that all off with a 2-out-of-3 loss to one of the worst teams in baseball. It just can't happen. It's a brutal series. It's a brutal series. And you know it's a brutal turnaround. You're flying for a one-game stop in St. Louis before you head back to Colorado. And if this thing, I mean, this is where you had to make hay. This is where you needed to go out there and, you know, add, you know, shorten the deficit, not have Arizona pick up a game on you. It's a brutal weekend for the Mets. Let's get to the calls. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good to hear you again.
Thank you.
Real quick, I talked to you, the last time I spoke to you was Thursday. We got into this whole cookie thing, and I was going to call you back on Friday.
First call is the cookie call. Yeah, what's up?
No, I love your top five, but I was a little disappointed you didn't put in the king of all cookies, the black and white. That's all.
Yeah, I am not the biggest black and white cookie fan. I think they are extremely overrated.
Wow. Okay.
The idea that they would be one on your list boggles my mind. You want to put them in your top five? People love them. Don't get me wrong.
Two behind Rainbow. It's 12.
All right. So Rainbow, black and white are your two top cookies. Yeah. I went kind of nostalgia for me. Oreo is the most common cookie I have, and just at any time I can go for an Oreo. Because also, like, the other thing, I mean, I guess I was thinking more along those lines, because Rainbow cookies, I don't know, as great as they are, I have them, what, I don't know, maybe three times a year, four times a year, where I can go get Oreos right now for $1.50, which is ridiculous for six Oreos. But I could literally go get an Oreo right now.
Yeah, and the Thin Mint, the Girl Scout Thin Mint, is classic.
That's classic, and it just reminds me of my childhood.
You can eat one. You gotta eat the whole sleeve.
Have to eat the whole sleeve. And the other one that everybody loves, the Samoas with a little bit of coconut and everything, had a bad experience. One of those things. I have like three things that I got sick on that I can no longer eat or even smell them. And the Samoa cookies in one of them. I don't think that's what got me sick, but I happened to be sick after eating some of them, and it all came right back up. And so to this day, I can't eat those. I can't have Bacardi Limon. No need to explain what happened with that situation. But I can't have Bacardi Limon. And then the other thing is that imitation crab meat, I got sick once on that, and that came back up, and I can't even look at it anymore. So those are three things that have been banned off the McMonagle food list.
Gotcha. A thing about the Mets, you're spot on about the offense, but here's what I'm worried about, and I heard a couple calls already say it, about how they wish they weren't getting sucked back in. But to me, I mean, what was the alternative? Like, we'd be out of it in May and June? And after, some people are really, some Mets fans don't really think like, oh,
no,
I wish they were.
I know. That's how Mets fans think, because that's what happens when you lose that game like you did on Saturday. And then you follow it up with losing two out of three. Mets fans are waiting for the next shoe.
Arizona and San Diego, the two hottest teams in baseball. Yep. I mean, today, Arizona was losing 4-0 to this guy Skeens that came back and won. They're in that kind of a role. But we've seen in baseball, things turn around quickly.
No doubt.
Look what's happened at Philly. Look what happened to the Yankees. So I'm not totally giving up hope.
Oh, no.
I think the offense will get it. And the thing with Alonso, I'd love to take him out of the cleanup spot, but there's really no alternative right now. If you put Martinez there, you have nobody to put in the three hole. But,
it's
tough.
I got you. And thank you for the call, Tommy. I'm not moving Alonso. Where am I going to move him to? Alonso's got a hit, plain and simple. I talked about it. There was no doubt. For me, the most important at the All-Star break, I said it coming out of the All-Star break, the most important Met moving forward is Pete Alonso, offensively at least. Because I can't ask any more from Lindor. He's a little bit streaky, or at least he has been in his Met career. He's been unbelievable. He's absolutely 100% taken leadership of this team. Him and Nimmo really kind of have become the leaders of this group, and Alvarez, I should say, obviously, leader of the pitching staff, Young. But he just hasn't been good enough offensively, but he feels like that. Certainly when he's behind the plate dealing with a struggling pitcher, trying to get a pitcher on track, he really has leadership qualities that, hopefully, moving forward for Met fans, he's going to be the leader of the team in short order. But right now, I would still put Lindor, who called the meeting, Nimmo, those two guys, Nimmo calling out the general manager, I shouldn't say calling him out, but prodding him to add at the deadline, really having that kind of bravado and confidence inside the clubhouse with the organization. Those are your two leaders. Pete Alonso is not. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be. I'm not killing him for that. But I couldn't have expected Lindor to just play like the best player in baseball forever. Aaron Judge, he is not. As great as he's been, as much as he's thrusted himself into the conversation for MVP, he won't win it. And he's a great, great player. But he is not Aaron Judge. He's not Otani. He's not one of the great hitters in baseball. He's a very, very, very good player. And an excellent defender. And has, you know, without question, put this team on his back in many ways and carried them. But I couldn't expect, you look at Judge, I expect Judge to hit all year like he's been hitting. You expect Otani to hit like he's been hitting. Right? You expect, you know, the Ramirez in Cleveland, you expect him to keep hitting. Lindor, you know he's going to be up and down a little bit. You couldn't have expected it to last forever. You need Alonso to at some point carry this team for a week, carry this team for 2 weeks, carry this team for a month. He's got to be the guy. Because, I mean, right now, I get it. As good as this lineup has been top to bottom, as productive as you've seen the order top to bottom, the OPSs top to bottom, you know, the way they've dominated good pitching, you couldn't expect it. Now, again, being the worst team since the All-Star break with runners in scoring position this side of Chicago, and I don't even count the White Sox as a baseball team right now. They've lost 20 in a row. So I don't really, you know, so let's not even include them in the conversation. The Mets are the worst team in baseball since the All-Star break with runners in scoring position. That's too drastic a fall. But now it's time, as I look at this group and I go, well, how much more can I really ask or get on Lindor. Like, every time something happens, like, Vientos hits into the double play. It's hard to get into Vientos. Oh, McNeil doesn't come through with a big spot. You know, it's hard to get on McNeil. He's killing it for the last 3 weeks. Oh, you know, oh, this one did that. You know, hey, Iglesias cooled off. It's hard to kill Iglesias. He's been unbelievable. Hey, you know, Nimmo has really cooled off the last month. All right, maybe you can start to get on Nimmo here. But even Nimmo, hey, listen, he was so unbelievable. He had, you know, you gotta cut him some slack. The only guy you point to right now, and you can't say, hey, you can't kill him, is Pete Alonso. At no point has Pete Alonso carried this team. At no point has Pete Alonso been the most important offensive player. At no point has he been a guy in a series to say, hey, Pete Alonso, I can say right now, over the last month, DJ LeMahieu has won more games for the Yankees than Pete Alonso has won for the Mets. That can't happen. That can't happen. Pete Alonso needs to be there. He needs to have a month here. Otherwise, you're right. Look at what San Diego and Arizona are doing. They're two of the hottest teams in all of baseball. You're not going to back into this. The Mets are going to have to go out and earn this thing. Andre in the Bronx. What's up, Andre? Andre, nothing? Yeah, it sounds completely dead. There's no background noise. He's not fumbling with the phone. He's not listening to it on the radio.
Leads you to think he's muted himself, no?
Yeah, maybe. That happens sometimes. I was on a phone call with my bank. I had a transfer from one account to another, and everything except the money showing up in the account happened. I got the confirmation email, the money taken out of the other account. It even said it on like the transactions of the account it was going to. All said, yep, there it is, except in the balance. So I had to call them. And you ever have a moment, I swear, I almost lost it. You ever have a moment where you've been on hold with someone for like 45 minutes? Like, so I'm on the phone with my bank going through, oh, we got to transfer to this department. I got the ring around, you know, the runaround. I got, oh, you got to transfer to this department. Oh, I see what the issue is. You need to be transferred to this department. I got transferred to four different places. Why am I losing the word I just said four times? Departments. Thank you. After being transferred to four different departments, the woman comes back from hold. I've been on hold for 50 minutes and she's like, hi, Mr. McGonagall, because they all can't pronounce my name. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. Hello, Mr. McGonagall? Yes, hello, Mr. McGonagall, you still there? And I was losing it. I'm like, there is no freaking way. They are going to hang up on me. I've been on hold for 50 minutes, and now she can't hear me? Now I'm getting the hello, are you there? I was like, this better. I almost thought she was messing with me just because she has no answers for me and was just going to hang up. Hello? Yeah, I can't hear you. Must be in a tunnel. No, I'm not in a tunnel. I'm on the toilet. And I've been here longer than Murtaugh. It's a Lethal Weapon 2 reference if you don't get it. And I'm too old for this crap. So please don't pretend like you can't hear me. You know damn well you can hear me. And then thankfully she came back on. And then I was talking, blah, 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 and then the problem just fixed itself. I'm going to put him back on hold, though, Andre, just because maybe there's a chance he muted himself, or maybe there's just a chance right now he's screaming at the phone going, I can't believe it, you can't hear me. But yeah, that's a frustrating moment when you think you're about to be hung up on, when you've been on hold for 50 minutes, getting transferred to this department, that department, this department, that department. Oh, that's our digital department. Man, what do you mean digital? What does that mean? I don't need to be transferred to this. I'm not even going to mess with that. Just kidding. But yeah, I mean, listen, the Met offense, it's just hasn't been good enough, and that's really where it is. You can complain about all the different things, right? I get it. Severino certainly didn't give you a great performance his last time out, but the pitch, even Peterson, like, those are good enough performances. Even McGill, they're good enough performances to win when the offense is scoring runs. And that's what they've been doing, and that's what's led them here. And if that's not going to continue, they're not going to win. Because, you know, Brazoban is a nice pickup. Obviously, Buto has made a huge difference in the bullpen. And if Diaz ever, you know, completely reverts back to form, although you feel fairly good about him right now, I mean, that could be a really good bullpen, I suppose. It's possible. It's not out of the question. Especially with Reed Foley coming back, giving you some more options. Maybe. But the rotation is what it is. And although Blackburn had a nice first start, I wouldn't expect much from him. But hey, crazier things have happened. But it's going to be predicated on this offense. And right now, it is time. As they lose this series, and as they continue to be bad with runners in scoring position for since the All-Star break, as they go to play one game in St. Louis before they're on their way to another lousy team in Colorado, it is time for Pete Alonso to wake the hell up and start doing damage and lead this freaking team and carry this team offensively for a month, because we know he's capable of it. We've seen it before. Pete Alonso is more than capable of carrying this offense. And he hasn't come anywhere near it. Anywhere near it. Now, I mean, you might look at his numbers and say, well, Chris, he's not the worst hitter in baseball. No. But he's not a guy on a walk year who loves being a Met, who's hit 40 home runs every time he's had a full season every year of his career, and who has absolutely... I mean, the narrative that Pete can't hit with runners in scoring position, or that Pete doesn't come through in the clutch... This year, it's accurate, not for his entire career. Quite the opposite, especially his rookie season. I remember having debates because, you know, we're crazy here with Yankees Mets about whose rookie season was better, Judge's or because he had 50, you know, they both hit over 50 home runs. Whose rookie season was better, Alonso? And I remember, honestly, as a Yankee fan, being honest and saying to myself, you know what? As great as Judge is, and I do feel, even then, I felt Judge was the better, more complete hitter. I mean, you look at that rookie season, Pete Alonso came through constantly. The numbers don't prove it. Nothing. This year, he's been bad with all the runners in scoring position. This year. That has not been the narrative of Pete Alonso his entire career. And more than just that, he needs to just get hot. He hits home runs in bunches. That hasn't happened. Like, he just needs to do something to get himself going so he can... Lindor's carried the team. Nimmo has carried the team. Vientos, has come through constantly. The bottom of the order, the bottom of the lineup has even, you know, been a major force for this team. Everybody but Pete Alonso. I could literally point to everybody on the team and tell you how they've exceeded expectations for a time, whether it be brief or elongated. I can point to every single player, including Jeff McNeil since the All-Star break. I can point to every single New York Met and give you a time frame where he dramatically overplayed his expectation. Everyone except Pete Alonso. Mets aren't going to win if I say that statement at the end of September. If that statement is still true at the end of September, we will be talking about, hey, you know what? They were in it the whole year. Positive year. First year of Stearns. Still have a bunch of guys. We all expected 25 to, you know, be the year. Some of these prospects will hit. They're going to go sign Juan Soto in free agency. All talk we're going to be talking about. We're not going to be talking about a wild card series. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross? Ross? Oh, man.
Yeah, you hear me?
There we go, Ross. Don't play with my emotions like this, man.
Hey, what's up? No, honestly, God, I didn't even do that on purpose. I'm not even muted. I don't know what's going on.
Adam, maybe it's my phones. I don't know.
I'm not calling from a tunnel neither, so I don't know what it is. But
no, I don't
anyway.
Know, Ross. What's up?
So, listen, with these Mets, you're 100% right. And just overall, listen, it's preaching in the choir. This is a huge missed opportunity, especially, and you kind of brought up, too, I think it was the way they lost yesterday that was kind of the killer, especially with, you know, Brazoban, his team, what Stanek's been so far in two appearances being a mess. And now you look at Brazoban, you kind of think of more so, you know, that was the second homer he gave up all year. So So the fact that, you know, maybe look at it, it's more, you know, there's got to be something to, aside from Maton, every reliever that comes in here, and, you know, Nunez has a couple others. The majority of relievers that have thrown pitches for the Mets this year have been complete whiffs. Yeah. And I'm not saying Brazoban and Stanek are that just yet, but so far it's not looking good. And who knows, this guy Zuber, if he shows up,
right,
he'll be. But not only that, but you look at that, you say, all right, you don't expect to sweep every series. I mean, the Angels may be one of the few teams that you do, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
But you brought it up, you know, situationally, coming off that loss and the showing you put on today, just from all facets, Quintana wasn't great, but he's not the reason they lost. And you just brought up offensively. I mean, it feels like it's weird because when you look at the lineup, and I was going in saying the offense wasn't a big need aside from the one bat, and I still think Winker is that bat. He's been slow out of the gates, but he's got time, and I think he's the least of their issues.
Yeah.
And it's weird. You look at it, you know, the rest of the lineup, you know, you look at the Taylor Bader situation. They've been two solid bats throughout the year. But then I look at another guy like Jock Peterson, who this is now the second time they've had a chance to sign him since Cohen took over. And what he's doing for Arizona a couple days ago was breathing right down their necks, now is above them. And what he's doing for that team batting third, he's been one of their best bats all year. You compare the Baders and Taylors of the world to that.
Yeah.
It seems like they're kind of stuck in a hole of mediocrity where they're good for the moment, but long-term, they're not going to be able to compete with the Arizonas and the San Diegos. You look at their lineup 1-9, there's not one bad bat in that lineup, both overall and, you know, runners in scoring position. You're talking about, you know, on the surface, bats like Vientos and Martinez have been great, but, you know, situationally and with runners in scoring position, you brought up, I think you said they're legit, you know, not even counting the White Sox, like you said, as a major league team.
I know.
They're the worst team in baseball.
They are.
In those spots.
They're the worst team other than the White Sox in baseball since the All-Star break with runners in scoring position. They've been that bad. Even in, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. But you're right. I mean, but I still feel pretty good about the long-term nature of it. It's just in this short term, and you're right, the way the Arizona Diamondbacks are playing and the way San Diego's playing, you can't, and the way the Mets started the season, you have no, there's no net.
And,
they've built themselves honestly, zero cushion.
And I'll say this too, no doubt about it. I mean, you got to essentially tread water with how tight this NL wild card race is, and this is the beauty of that third wild card spot. I mean, we repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
Last 2 years in the National League, that sixth seed that just got added won both NL pennants.
Yeah.
And honestly, you look at tomorrow's game, you know, it depends on who you ask, but I think a lot of people view the NL wildcard race, like, realistically, as a four-team race. Mets, Braves, Padres, D-backs, you lose tomorrow to St. Louis, you're both now two games out of that third spot. And I'll say this real quick. You know, you want to talk about LOL Mets, same old Mets. I'm going to play out this scenario for you, right? You talk about the free-falling Phillies. And they just snapped that six-game losing streak tonight. But still, they're on a major skid to the fact of how bad the Yankees were. They've got a better record currently than Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. Everybody points to 22 when the Braves had the historic division comeback.
Yeah.
They'll repeat it again. This time, though, the team that held on to the NL East record or lead for however long in Philly, rather than blow it in three games in the wild card, they'll go on to do what the Mets couldn't do 2 years ago. And despite blowing the division lead, they'll go on to win the whole World Series because that's typical Mets. They'll do what the Mets couldn't and make up for blowing the division lead when instead of the Mets making up for blowing the division, they just went out sitting in three games. And honestly, Philly could do that because you look at what the wild cards have been able to do in 2 years, and that's why everybody says all you got to do is get in the dance. And with the teams like the Angels and Colorado, I wouldn't take that lineup lightly with Tovar. I mean, Tovar put up three homers against them last time at Citi. You don't think he's going to blast homers 470 up in Coors? Totally. That line is pretty solid, man. Doyle, they're no pushover neither. So I don't know, man. They can't take these teams lightly, and so far they've done all but that.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, man, appreciate the time.
No, of course, Ross. I appreciate it. Good call. No, you're right. They would be if they lose this game to St. Louis, they're half a game better than St. Louis, tied in the loss. They would be one game better in the. I was just looking at it. I'm an idiot. They'd be one game up on them in the loss column, tied in the win column. So they'd be a half game better than St. Louis. You're right. They're right there with St. Louis, too. This is a big game tonight. This is a big game. These are all big games. And you're right. Colorado scores runs, especially in that building. Chris Bryant, who's been awful, is at least playing. And I saw he got a double and a couple RBIs yesterday. So you can't lose these series. It's the sin, and you know the Yankees was the same thing. But you head into that Angel series, and you don't have to sweep. You started your call by that. If they win yesterday, we're having a different conversation. Hey, they won another series. Haven't lost the series since late June, which is true. The last time the Mets lost the series prior to yesterday and this Angel series was the end of June in the Astros. So they went through the entire month of July not losing a series. There's a handful of four-game splits sprinkled throughout there, but haven't lost the series in a month. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. So, again, I've said this a few times. Hard to kill them. I'm not killing the Mets. What I'm saying is that's a series you just can't lose. If you win it, you plug along. Everything's good. You win. You don't have to sweep. You take two or three. You keep plugging away. You can't lose, especially when they're throwing the pitching they're throwing at you. And, you know, without Mike Trout, you know, I mean, you just can't. That's one of the worst teams in baseball. The Mets are trying to make the playoffs here. You can't start off and a huge month, a huge 10-game road trip, and you know, and right in the middle of a surging two teams coming to get you in the National League wild card, you can't start that month, that series off, that road trip off with losing two out of three to the lousy Los Angeles Angels. Can't do it. And we'll see how they back it up. Tonight's a huge game, followed by more big games in Colorado. Every game the rest of the year is big.